This is a Pinball News production.
Hello, everybody. Can you hear me? Okay. All right. I'm going to take you through a bunch of the stuff that we did on Batman. But before I get into that, I want to say that I feel really, really fortunate that I'm one of those people that someone pays me to do something that I love. It's what I do is really an overgrown hobby. And not necessarily specifically related to pinball machines. I've been a designer all my life. I knew pretty much that I wanted to design products. I went to school, I got a degree, I did all that stuff. And I bounced around, and somewhere along the way, I discovered pinball. My real job, I design video games for Midway Games. I work on X360 and PlayStation 3 video games, which are very, very different from pinball machines in terms of implementation. Conceptually, you're entertaining people. And I learned how to entertain people by making coin-operated arcade games way back in the day. And somewhere along the line, that knowledge was bolstered by my exposure to pinball. So I want to thank Gary Stern for every couple of years giving me a shot at designing a game. When I design a game for Gary, it's very different than when I design a game at Midway, or even when I design pinball games at Williams, because I don't have as much time to put into the game, and so my games kind of come out when they come out. Not something Gary loves, but it's the way that I get to do games. Also, the guys inside of Stern, the engineering department, all those guys are incredibly supportive, and they do way more work on my games than they probably have to do on anybody else's games, because I'm not there every day. And so designing a pinball machine for Gary means that I work on it on Sunday afternoon, and it's a lot of fun. But it's not the same as being there 12 hours a day like all of the guys that work for him working on this thing. So let's get right into it. These are some of my favorite jokers. When I started Batman, the very first thing that I said was, you know, what would Batman do if he was going to make this game? The photo there is when they were shooting in Chicago. Gary got us permission to go out there, and so I got to look at the Batmobile. You'll be very disappointed to know that the Batmobile is powered by a small block Chevy. So the very first thing you do when you sit down to design a game is you come up with a lot of bad ideas. And the process is all about weeding out the bad ideas. So here's some of the bad ideas. I had this notion that I was going to put three balls on a disc and spin the disc to release the balls into multi-ball. Didn't make the cut. I had this notion that, I don't know if you can see it, but this drawing right here, I wanted to have Batman essentially slide down a rope, if you will, inside the game, like a teeter-totter. So these are all bad ideas. I had some notion that I was going to make the Batmobile crash through things. None of this stuff made the cut. These are my sketches relative to the ramp designs on Batman, and I know you'll find this really curious since there's only one ramp on Batman, and yet I sketched for days trying to figure out what that ramp should be. And I ended up with a ramp that doesn't look like any of the ramps up there. So because I have very, very little time to do this, I decided I was going to go into the garage on a weekend, and on Saturday morning I started, and on Monday morning I put this thing in the back of my car and drove over to Gary's place and met with all the guys and said, this is Batman. So you'll see that this is a foam core mock-up. I like to do foam core because it's a very, very quick way for me to sort of understand the architecture of the game. And you'll see all, you know, pretty much the good thing about this is that I've done this enough times now that this didn't change radically from the game that you guys were playing all weekend. You can see pretty much it is what it is. On the left side is the teeter-totter ramp with the Batmobile. There is a there's a big bat symbol where there's a spinner. You can see the big Joker head with a Joker reveal. You know, some things that fell out that you'll notice right away. I wanted to do these big Joker cards as inline targets. And of course, that never made it past the costing thing. I wanted to turn the crane toy, which is one of the funnest, coolest toys I've ever done, into a ramp. So the original crane toy, you can see that a ball was supposed to go right here, and it was going to get kicked up on top of the crane, and it was going to roll down the crane. That didn't work so well, because then I got to thinking, what happens when the crane is out and you're playing with the crane and somebody shoots into that hole? I guess that ball just gets thrown up into midair. The reveals, the Joker has two reveals. This doesn't show it, but there's a... he's typically, when you start the game, it looks like Gotham City in front of him. And then we rotate that around to show the action figure. And then there's a second reveal, which is actually the big Joker head. And the reason I wanted to do the two reveals is because every time, I'm a big fan of Discovery. Discovery is a big thing to me. I'm the kid that had a toy castle, and I owned it for what I thought was years and played with it every day. And one day I discovered a secret hatch in my toy castle that I had had for years. And all of a sudden it extended the life of that toy some amount of time. And so reveals are like that for me. They're about the discovery of a game. The other problem with reveals and is that our audience has changed. And so in the old days I could do a reveal and not worry about someone getting to it. But Gary is constantly reminding me that we have a bunch of casual players and they will not get to the reveals. So I wanted I wanted the Joker to not ever be seen until you got to him. And of course, that wasn't going to happen. We were going to open with the Joker exposed. And so what I decided was that if we're going to open with the Joker exposed, that everybody could see him, I was going to do a second reveal. And that's the big, scary Joker head. So this is the production game, just to show you the difference, right? It's pretty much the same. The Joker bounces around when you hit him. So here's the crane toy. Here's the mock-up versus the real deal. You can see the path that the ball was going to take on top of the crane versus the way that the crane came out. The crane, by the way, when I did this game, I actually thought of the Batmobile ramp before I thought of the crane. And when I squeezed in the Batmobile ramp, all my games have always been a seven-shot array, because I essentially, you know, mentored under Steve Ritchie, and all his games were seven-shot arrays, so my games became seven-shot arrays. And so when I did that, all of a sudden I had a six-shot game for the first time in my design career, and I didn't know what to do with it. So in trying to get more shots into the game, I came up with this crane. And because the crane to me is like adding, you know, 15 shots to the pinball machine, because it can change positions, it can move dynamically, so you can shoot it on the fly. I can park it in front of a shot and block that shot and then have you move the crane out of the way by hitting the ball. And the original idea for the crane was, if you've ever seen a coin-operated video game joystick, from an old game, like a Pac-Man or something, if you turn it upside down, that was my intent. The crane also has some history with me. The very first version of this mechanism that I did was an NBA Fast Break. It was the blocker. And, you know, the guy, you see that arc cut into the bottom of the play field? What would happen is that would move around. I did it again in a different position on a game when I did Dracula in Monster Bash. It's the same exact concept. All I did was move it to the top of the game. What you see there on the left is nowadays we design games not only in 2D but in 3D. So the 3D CAD drawing of the crane. Some more shots of this this area. This ramp that I really slaved over became something very simple. This is a shot of the notion that I want to do something different with the ramp. I created that teeter-totter Batmobile ramp because I thought it was cool to see the Batmobile and the ball running down the ramp simultaneously. The Batmobile hits a stand-up target at the end of the ramp, and then we do an explosion effect. So you see the two drawings here, the mock-up versus the production piece. They pretty much came out pretty close to the same. This is my sketch that I would give to the Stern engineers in terms of my vision of how this thing went together. The particulars, the motivation behind this is that if you don't do this and you just describe to them what you want or give them the foam core, chances are that they might come back with something that's maybe more expensive or bigger or... So I feel it's really important for me to sort of go the extra mile and sort of convince them as to how it is that I need it done. Just some more shots of the same area. Batman spell out, one of the first spell outs in one of my games. This is some of Kevin's art, and what I want you to notice here is, so the painting of Michael Caine is a painting that he had to do to convince the movie company that he was a real painter, because you know their vision of an artist is a guy that pushes buttons in Photoshop, and so you know we went in there and what they wanted us to do was they wanted us to take all of the art that the movie company creates in the style guide, and they wanted us to composite it together to create the art for the pinball machine. And we said, you know, in some cases we can do that, but, you know, in some cases we can't. And so Kevin did this beautiful Michael Caine painting the old-fashioned way. And then when we showed him that, they were like, oh, okay. Now you can do what you're going to do. So on the left, left-hand corner or right-hand corner over here, you see an early Batman back glass. You'll see that the logo in the center, Joker in the corner. I didn't particularly care for that composition, so I kind of pushed for the ominous Joker sort of ghosted in the background looking down on him. And so what you see here is the big one in the corner, in the upper left-hand corner, is Kevin's final painting. And then you see a mock-up. The mock-up that we actually used to get the painting sort of approved is right below it. This is the pain that Kevin and I go through when we make a game. And what this means is that he tries some stuff, and then I make these crazy notes, and I send them to him, and you know he curses a lot, and then we do it again, and again, and again, and again, until we get it right. And this is just some... just some miscellaneous stuff from the game. The idea with the heads in the middle, which you know we've done in a million games, and everybody goes, "Where's Batman?" And you know, I thought that it would be fun to just you know show Bruce Wayne instead of Batman, and use the bat symbol as a representation of Batman, since in fact he is the glue that ties all these people together. I wanted to cut out the bottom arch and backlight it. You know, that never made it past the cost monster. This is one of my favorite cabinets of all time. I took the image that the movie company had of the Batcycle and threw it on a cabinet side and sent it off to Kevin, and he totally jumped on it and tightened it up, put the city behind it, worked out, we wrestled around with the logo for quite a while. There was issues with the movie company, there was issues with visibility. That's why the logo is stainless steel as opposed to black. But I'm really happy with this cabinet. I think it's a beautiful cabinet. And I think it totally reads Batman. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is my presentation. So now I'll take questions. Was that short enough for you guys? You know, I have, you work on the game every day and you work with the people working on the game. There's the coolest part to me was when there's something that surprises me in the game. Usually when I finish a game, I can't play it for years. And then one day I'm sitting around my house and I step up to it and go, wow, yeah, you know, games are like, they're like a piece of music for me. In that I remember all the things that were going on in my life when I made that game. And so I was at Stern playing a production game one day, and Lyman had snuck in a line, which is an obvious line to grab from the Joker, but it really made my day. The Joker goes, "How does he come up with those wonderful toys?" And I was playing the game and I went, "Yes!" So, anyway, that's it. Questions?
Any more revisions planned after you wanted?
You're asking the wrong guy. Any more revisions after 2.2? Well, you know what? There's always something that needs to be added. But we have to be, we have to do things. And so we're trying to do a lot with very little. We have a real skeleton crew. We're really lightweight. We don't have a lot of depth. At Williams, I had an army of guys. I mean, I could have guys iterating on things. I could have multiple iterations of something going on simultaneously. I can't, just to see which one worked out better. I can barely get you the one that you need.
Are you aware, I don't know how much you know about the book, are you aware that all the modes are identical?
They're not really, but I mean, that's a perspective. If I light a light over here and I ask you to do that, that's not the same to me as if I said to you, do this in this order, or do this over here.
But the four modes, same five shots, anyone?
I don't agree with you. I'm sorry.
Have you mastered it yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
And I don't. You have. Okay, I haven't, I think if Lyman was here, he'd have a lot to say about that. Right. So my philosophy, and this is not, there's a lot of other designers in the room, and they may differ with me, and there's a lot of other designers working on pinball machines. My philosophy is that when you miss, you always need feedback. You constantly need feedback. And that means that if you miss the shot, you should hit something that's going to light a light or make a sound. And to take that a step further, I try to make the ball fall into something. So if you were shooting for the ramp, but you missed the ramp, then I want you to go into the hole. Or you missed the ramp to the other side, I want you to go into the target. If I can do that, to me, that's a playable game. It's a game that it's constantly giving me feedback, because no matter where the ball goes, something is happening. And that's what I try to do. So I try to make it, I play a lot with what happens when I don't make the shot. I'm what I would call an average player. And so I think I'm a good gauge of when I've got that end of it right. I don't like games. Mark Ritchie's a good friend of mine, and I like a lot of his stuff a lot. I'm a big fan of Fishtails. I'm not a big fan of the first Indiana Jones. That's a game that, to me, if you make the shot, there's only two ways. It's the shot either goes in or the shot bounces off a post and comes back at you. And so to me, that's a tough game for a novice to play. The other thing that I do is, and I know it drives the software guys crazy, but I think that the game has to be fun when you're shooting it and there's no rules. There's no nothing. There's just a play field. If the game is fun with just the play field, it's only going to be more fun when you put rules and lights and sounds and everything else in it. And so I sort of start there. And when my white woods first come up, if the white wood is not fun to shoot, I go back to AutoCAD and I go back to the drawing board, because basically the game's not there yet. When the white wood is fun to shoot with nothing else on it, then I'm happy. Send it over to the software guys and let's get going.
So 9 years ago you came to us and your spider sense was tingling. Now switched from Marvel to DC, apparently. How do you feel about the industry?
Well, I'm concerned for it, but I'm definitely concerned for it. I think that the industry's shifted, right? So there's a large percentage, as you've heard Gary say, is home sales. Home sales are directly tied to our economy. That's something that we could never say in the history of our industry. You know, when I started in the business in 1978. I went to work at Bally Midway and times weren't great. You paid 16% interest to buy a new Camaro, and God knows what people were paying to buy houses. But I remember a bunch of the old timers in the coin business that said to me, "We're recession proof." Well, we were recession proof then. I don't know that we're recession proof today. And so I am scared about that. I don't have the same, my spider sense tingling, the reference you're making. I worked with a bunch of people that didn't have the stomach to be in the business that we're in. That's not the case today. That's not the case today. These guys they have no pretensions. They don't want to be anything else. They just want to be in the pinball business. That's a big difference. That's a huge difference. Anybody else? Thanks very much.